You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and a welcome along to the William Hill Daily Racing Podcast. You join us on Thursday's edition of the podcast where we've got racing from Ayr, Goodwood and Wetherby in the afternoon. Sandown, Nottingham and Clonmel in the evening. You'll hear every race live on William Hill's Racing Radio from 1:40 p.m. But before all that, Sam Norris here on the podcast, and joining me to take a look at the best of the action is Gary Capewell. How are you, Gary? Good?
Yeah, very good. Thank you, Sam. Very good. Yeah, busy weekend of racing to look forward to. I won't be in the country to see any of it, thankfully. But
no, you're off to Dubai or somewhere?
No, unfortunately not. No, I'm off to Prague for the weekend. Well, until next Wednesday for one of my best friends' stag do.
Very nice. Well,
and then I go straight on from there for 5 days to Poland, where I am working.
If you're on a podcast duty early next week, then I'll remember not to ask you if you've seen any of the weekend's racing.
Well, thankfully, I'll be out the country as of Saturday for over a week, so won't be happening. So it'll be more when we get back the week after, when I've not seen anything.
Oh, fair enough. Good stuff.
I can't remember anything, probably.
Yeah, absolutely. It's reasonable stuff as well on Thursday.
It's better than the dross we've had the 3 days that preceded, if I'm perfectly honest. Yes, it's a lot better, and obviously some of the bigger tracks taking centre stage, the likes of Goodwood and Sandown, who traditionally host at very good quality racing. You often see decent maidens and good prize money in the handicaps, and that is sort of borne out in the racing that we've got on Thursday. Plenty to look forward to, and Nottingham race as well. No class threes that are there, but there is a class three at Ayr that we're going to take a look at a little bit later on as well.
Yeah, certainly is. We'll move on to a bit of Thursday's racing then in due course. We'll start with a little look ahead to some of the feature races at the weekend and some of the stories making the news. Front page of the Racing Post today, Roger Varian talking up the chances of Bilardo in the Irish 2000 Guineas. Of course, he was champion two-year-old last year, but rather disappointed on his reappearance in the Greenham, Gary.
Yes, obviously he won the Dewhurst last year, this horse, didn't he? And he was pretty disappointing. Only beat one horse home at Newbury. But he's apparently working a little bit better now, isn't he? So he goes there with, it has to be said, something to prove. Ground at the current at the moment, currently described as yielding, and there's a little bit of rain forecast. Sort of the temperatures aren't set to rise too much, considering we're towards the back end of May, which is a little bit of a concern. So I don't imagine the ground it's gonna change too much. Might dry out a little bit, but
should suit him more than it
should suit him more than it did in Newbury, where it was quite quick. But even still, I think he's still going to have his work cut out to get anywhere near the 2000 Guineas winner over here, Glen Eagles, who's hoping to become the eighth horse to complete the Newmarket Curragh Guineas double.
Yes, certainly is. But 9-4 on, it wouldn't be everyone's price, Gary, although it does look the most likely winner.
It's not a betting price, but he is the most likely winner. Obviously, Ivor Wood was a decent two-year-old last year as well. He obviously ran in the Guineas too. And Tom Bully, quite an interesting runner from Dermot Weld. He won the Tetrick Stakes at the Curragh last month. And he's obviously got to prove himself in this better grade. But the fact that Dermot Weld is even, considering him, running him in the race would indicate that he thinks he's more than capable of holding his own in the company, which should be a big, big plus for his chances. Might well be the each-way call, because if you're going to bet something now, you can bet him each way with three places, because it's not guaranteed we're going to get three places on the day.
Yeah. 12-1 shot at the time of recording. Then I'll just run you through the rest of the prices. 4-9 favourite remains Glen Eagles. Ivorwood 9-2, Bilardo 10-1, and 12-1 for Highland Reel. And we're just a month away from Royal Ascot as well, Gary. Looking forward to that too?
Yeah, obviously, we've got the opening race. Obviously, they have quite a few Group 1s. I don't think it's three Group 1s on the opening day, but the Stakes over a mile is very much shaping up to be a fantastic contest. Abel Friend coming over from Hong Kong Solo, who was so impressive winning the old Dubai Duty 3 at Maidan on World Cup night. Night of Thunder, the Lockinge winner, two or more, he wasn't beaten that far behind him. It's often a mouth-watering opening day, and you know, it's something to really look forward to. We've got quite a few horses coming over from America as well. And we've got California Chrome, who disappointed a little bit. He was second in the Dubai World Cup. He's going to run the Prince of Wales Stakes. I think he's got it all to do, I must admit. But he's been very, very sportingly campaigned with this race in mind. And the Gold Cup, which is the feature race, obviously, of the entire meeting. And Forgotten Rules, so impressive in the Vintage Crop Stakes of the weekend. The Brown Panther and Mizu, I was really taken with over at Ascot in the... Oh, I can't remember the name of the race, the Cigarro, when he won that. And Tat de Boistro and Clever Cookie, who raced it, who were riding against each other at Chester. And, of course, Alex, my boy, used to be trained by Mark Johnston was the subject of the Pricewise selection when he previewed the race set yesterday in the paper. So plenty to look forward to. Let's just hope it warms up a bit between now and...
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Lots of good racing to come then. And just before we move on, worth a quick mention for the retiring sires in Europe today, Gary. Fantastic record chasing. 350 chase fences jumped and completed every time.
Yeah, there can't be too many jump horses that have gone on and with that type of record as well. He's had such a fantastic career, both sides of the Irish Sea, and obviously a festival winner. And I think when he won at Punchestown last year as a 12-year-old, albeit but for a 12-year-old to go out there and grade one company and do that was just fantastic. A real credit to Connections and a very honourable retirement now beckons.
Yeah, absolutely. And good to see him retired in one piece and something near the top of his game as well, which is always good. We'll move on then to take a look at some of Thursday's races. We've got four to look at on Thursday. We'll start at Goodwood with their 240. This one is a 7-furlong handicap. It's a Class 2 with 9 of them going down to post. And a few last-time out winners here, Gary.
Yeah. Saucy Minx is certainly one of those. He's a 3-time previous course when he was a winner at Salisbury on his most recent outing. Kieran Schumacher, who rode him that day, keeps the ride. He's actually won on him. Well, he's rode him 3 times. He's won on him twice, and he's been in the frame third on one occasion. And one of those victories did come as one of his course victories. So, he obviously gets on well with the horse, but he does have a career high mark to contend with here. Birdie Whittle's a regular in these type of events, the likes of your Hunt Cups and et cetera, sometimes even 6-furlong races as well. Hasn't won for ages though, that would be a concern with him, but he's getting to an interesting looking handicap mark. Nigel's Destiny, whose last 3 runs have all come on the all weather. In fact, most of his runs have actually been on the all-weather, and he was a winner at the turn of the year off a mark of 83, but he's now off 89. That would be enough to put me off him. 50 Shades of Grey won a similar sort of race to this here on his most recent outing. Could be argued that was a slightly better grade than this, actually. A 0-100. It was a strong race. He's now gone up £7, and he's also off a career-high mark, but he's one of the least exposed in the lineup. And then we come to the selection. He's got top weight to carry, God willing, who hasn't won since winning on his debut. But he started off life in the handicaps off a mark of 105. He's now going to be running tomorrow off a mark of 98. He was a good second at Chelmsford on his most recent outing. Lacken just got him in the closing stages. Andrea Rezzini, I think he's quite an underestimated rider on front runners. And he takes the ride. Not a lot of other early pace on either, so there's a chance that he might be able to dictate from the front, fingers crossed he'll manage to hold on. I know he hasn't won since his debut, but he's been running in some top-class races. So, God willing, in the 240.
Okay, God willing then, getting the vote for Gary in that one for Ed Dunlop and Andrea Azzini in the Qatar Racing Colours. We'll move on then to the feature race of the day on Thursday. This is Filly's Listed Stakes from Goodwood. They're 4.25, 1 mile, 1.5 furlong is the trip for this one. I've got the dead eight lining up as well, Gary, at the time of recording.
We have. John Golston won this race back in 2008, and he's got two runners. Miss Giller, who's still a maiden, 0 from 5, but finished fourth in the Lingfield Oaks trial behind Toujours L'Amour. They all finished in a bit of a heat that day. I just wonder whether the mark of 97 just flatters her slightly. Sable Companion Jellicle Ball won at Kempton on Racecourse debut. The speed gurus were left yapping that day about the figure that she produced. She was second then in the Fred Darling and then only beat one home in the 1,000 guineas. She'll find this race a little bit easier, one would have thought. Arthusia won here on her last start. Came a wee while ago, though, and that was only really in nursery company. Is open to a good deal of improvement, but strictly on figures, has a little bit to find. Encore L'Amour finished eighth behind Irish Rookie. On her most recent outing last season. Obviously, Irish Rookie's gone on to finish second in the French 1,000 guineas. But also running in that race was the one I'm going to go for, Lady of Dubai, whose all runs thus far have come at Newmarket, won a maiden there on her penultimate outing over a mile, and finished second, and a good second, behind Irish Rookie in that race towards the back end of last season. Entitled to maybe improve her touch for this, but some of Lucas' horses have been winning first up, and she had such a progressive profile last year. She improved quite dramatically with racing. If she's anything like near fit, I think she'll take all the beating. So Lady of Dubai in that 4.25.
Okay, Lady of Dubai then for Gary in the 4.25 at Goodwood. We'll move across then to Ayr for our next race. This one comes up at 5.10. It's a mile handicap. It's a Class 3 event with 11 of them lining up to contest it. And not the most inspiring of form on offer here.
No, for the grade, this is pretty ropey, it has to be said. Fort Bastien ran at York last week and finished fifth. One of Tyrone's in the race for David O'Mara. He also has the top weight Russian Realm, who I napped when that horse was unplaced in the big 7 furlong handicap at Ascot. Kind of caught the eye on that occasion as well. The extra distance will help him, but I think he wants a flat out run mile, and I just get the impression all roads lead to the Hunt Cup for him. So I think this is just another stepping stone towards that. He had some decent form for Sir Michael Stout in some good races last year. I think we'll keep an eye out on him for another day. Dubai Dynamo won at Ripon in a good quality contest just 4 days ago. Obviously has the £6 penalty to carry for that. Won by 2.25 lengths, and he looked in rude health, but even still, I think he's likely to be sort of well found in the market. So the one I'm going to take a chance for is Indy, who won on his racecourse debut, hasn't won since, was 10th in the Spring Mile when last seen, but hasn't had that many starts, this horse. He's another horse who's likely to get a pretty soft time of things out in front as well, now that Spars Dancer has been confirmed as an on-runner. I think Graham Gibbons might be able to dictate matters from the front on this horse, as he tried to do in the Spring Mile when just getting a bit tired in the closing stages. Doncaster is traditionally a terrible track for front runners anyway. And he's one of the more unexposed horses in this race. He's got a bit more improvement hopefully to come. So I'm going to take a little bit of chance with Indy in that 5.10.
OK, then Indy for Gary in the 5.10 at Ayr. We'll move to Sandown then for the final race on Thursday's podcast. This is their 7.35. It's a mile and a quarter handicap for the three-year-old. And a lot of big operations represented here, Gary, and also a runner for the Queen, who's on the shortlist.
Yeah, it's a long shortlist. Obviously, Dartmouth will start with the Queen's runner, finished fourth behind Jack Hobbs in that handicap here 4 weeks ago. Entitled to have needed that run would have been in a long old way, obviously, but your eye is immediately drawn to that little bit of form, isn't it? Counterproof won at Wolverhampton on its final start last year, open to a good deal of improvement. Soluble also won at Wolverhampton earlier on the season before finishing third at Salisbury in a pretty decent race when pulling too hard in the closing stages on his most recent outing and rather spoiling his chances. Rare Rhythm won at Newmarket on that one's last run last year, open to improvement. Labricia Breeze won at Lingfield on the all-weather just over 2 months ago. Richard of York won at Windsor on his debut. Duretto won at Kempton on that one's final outing last year, and Istimar was a winner at Wolverhampton just over 3 weeks ago. Wide, wide open, but I was really taken by the way Richard of York won that race at Windsor on his racecourse debut. I remember Ken saying that he thought he perhaps even needed the run and was entitled to improve a great deal for it, but that he was certainly wasn't stopping as he went through the line. The handicapper was really left with where to put him in terms of his mark, and I think he's plucked out 85, and I actually think that this horse, who's a really big, strong individual, is probably capable of being a lot better than that. But that said, there are a lot of runners like that in this race. Typical three-year-old handicap this time of year, over this sort of distance. But on similar ground to which he encountered on his racecourse debut, with Adam Kirby now taking over from Leonardo de Souza, I'm really keen on seeing how Richard of York progresses, and he will be the pick in that 7:35.
OK, Richard of York then, to round off Gary's selections on this Thursday. If you just remind us, please, then, of your four best bets for the action on Thursday.
Yeah, in the 2:40 at Goodwood, God willing, in the 4:25 at Goodwood Lady of Dubai, in the 5:10 at Air Indy, and in the 7:35 at Sandown, Richard of York.
Excellent. There we are then. You've been listening to the thoughts of Gary Capewell ahead of Thursday's action. And join us from 1:40 p.m. on William Hill Racing Radio, where we'll have every race live from Ayr, Goodwood and Weatherby in the afternoon, Sandown, Nottingham and the Irish card from Clonmel in the evening. Thank you for joining me on the podcast today, Gary, and good luck with the bets on Thursday.
Cheers, Sam.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.